Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Gimel, Perik Yud Aleph, chapter 11 is, we're starting the chapter. Va'inyan ki yudua b'zoah. The idea that we are speaking of, we're speaking that Hashem is the master of all forces, and therefore even though forces have their sources from other forces, each soul has a soul, so to speak. So there are forces on top of forces on top of forces with root forces that guide other forces. And then Hashem is the master of all forces. So he says that this idea is known also from the Zohar. Shuhiz Baruch the Diburei Chad is what the Zohar means when it says Hashem and His Word are one. Hashem and His Word are one and the same. Which is a very powerful statement. Hashem and His Word are one. Bekol Dibu Umayme Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every word and statement of Hashem in the act of creation. Right, we know that Hashem created the world with 10 sayings, 10 statements. So every word and every statement of Hashem in creating the world, Shoma Vayehi. Right, for instance, says by each time it says Vayehi and it was. Vayehi means and it was. So for instance, the first mimer we have is Hashem Vayom Hashem Yor. Hashem said, let there be light, Vayehi Or, and there was light. Vayehi. Every time the word Vayehi and it was, Hu HaNefesh V'Chiyusoi, that and it was is itself. That word and it was, Hashem said, let there be light, and it was. That word and it was is itself the soul and the life force of the thing that He was creating. It's the life force of, when Hashem said, let there be light, so the word and it was is the life force of the light itself. That's the word of Hashem, which is the life force of the item that was created. Bekol ribei revois haminim shaboy, and all the millions, tens of myriads of types that are in part of that creation. We understand that if the whole world was created with 10 statements, so each statement contains millions and millions of details, because the world is very, very detailed. So therefore, and all of that is included in the 10. So each one of the elements of this world has to be one of the 10, has to be within one of the 10. So each of these statements which contains tens of myriads, millions of types within that statement, imam mazolus hamamunim aleim, with the different constellations, with the different heavenly forces that are pointed about over each item. Each item has its heavenly force. Every single item in this world has its heavenly force. It has the soul, a soul to it, which is a life force. Amalochim hamamunim al oisa mazolus, as well as the angels which are pointed over those forces, the angels that are pointed above those constellations, v'shoshem, and the roots of those angels, v'shoshoshem, and the roots of the roots of the angels, l'mala mala, going higher and higher, shebechol olam, right through the whole of creation, mi'az v'chala oid, kol yuman alon, and then from that point onwards, furthermore, for all the days of the world, all the days of the universe. In other words, that there's continuing energy being given to the world, continuous energy that is running the world for all the whole time of the world. Dvar Yisbarach Nitzav Behem, it's the word of Hashem that's standing in them, it's supporting them. That's the support, that's the foundation of it all. That's the support of it all, is Hashem's word which stands within them, L'Ha'iram, to light them up. Mm-hmm. Light them up like you light up a room. You have a dark room, you light up a room, suddenly everything becomes more real when it's lit up. It comes to life. La'iram, to light them up, to light up the whole of creation, la'kaimam, and to give them and to help them to survive, la'kaimam, to keep them alive, to sustain them. Kol rega, every moment. Every single item in this world needs to be sustained every single moment. B'chol prate inyanehem v'shinuyem v'sidu matzovim, with all the details of what they contain, and all the different variations, all the different moves, changes they go through, right? You have an item which changes. You have a worm that becomes a butterfly. So therefore, you have all of these changes. The world is a changing world. You have flowers that grow. You have trees that grow, that produce fruits, etc., etc. It's a moving, changing, living world. So all of those, that whole energy which gives life to it all is the word of Hashem. And for this reason, all 10 sayings of the creation of the world, it only uses the name Elohim. Right through the 10 statements, uses Elohim, which we said means forces. Hashem is the master of all forces. Mm-hmm. Because each statement is one of the forces, so to speak. For that saying itself is the master of the forces of that item, or those items that were created by that saying. It is the master of all of the types that come from that particular saying. Each one of the 10 sayings has millions, as we mentioned before, millions of creatures that come from one of those sayings, and all of the power of those sayings, of those creatures, comes from that saying. Shehu nafsham, it is their soul, it is their life force. Hamispashet bepnimus kol pratei chelkeim, it's the life force which spreads right through all of the details of all of the parts of all of these creatures. Just that now, right now, our eyes are covered up. We can't see this. We can't see that Hashem is actually keeping us all alive with His Word. We can't see it. We can't fathom it. It seems to be we're existing independently. Like if you have a remote toy, a remote robot that walks around. So you don't see the remote. You don't see that it's being controlled from something else. It looks like it's walking by itself. So therefore, we can't see that all of the creatures of the world, all being sustained by the Word of Hashem. Our eyes have been covered up from seeing this truth. With eyes of flesh and blood. How the word of Hashem actually spreads through the whole of creation. So to speak, spreading through all of the creation and turning it and making it a living being. However, concerning the future, the world to go out in the future, it says in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Kipi Hashem Dibeh. It says that all of flesh together will see that it's the mouth of Hashem that's spoken. Then they'll see it's the mouth of Hashem that's actually the word of Hashem that's really keeping them all going. Which is to say that our ability to grasp, our intellectual grasp, will be purified. Our ability to grasp concepts will be purified to such a degree. Until we're able to grasp, even with our flesh and blood eye, even with our natural eyes, we'll get to such a level, there'll be a purifying of our understanding and insight, such that the word that we will see with our own flesh and blood eyes, we'll see with our very own eyes, we'll see how the word of Hashem spreads right through, we'll see it, how the word of Hashem spreads right through creation and sustains it all. Right through every single element of the world, we'll see the word of Hashem, so to speak, entering that item and bringing it to life. There was already, this is not something totally new, there was already a precedent for this when the Jewish people were at Matan Torah, the receiving of the Torah at Sinai. So they had a similar type of insight, a similar type of grasp. Like the verse says over there, the Cholam Roim Asakulis. It says that the entire nation saw the voices. Hashem spoke to the Jewish people. He gave them the 10 commands. And the people saw the voices. Now, we don't understand what that means. What does it mean they saw the voices? But the words could actually be seen, so to speak. And this is also the same idea as is mentioned in the Gemara over there. There's another teaching that says over there that not like the present reality is the future reality. Right in this world, in our present reality, we write the name of Shem as Yud and He and Vav and He, right? Yud Ke Vav Ke. That's how we write the name of Shem, but we don't say it like that. So not the way is it written, is it the way that it's read? Rather, we call it just Adnus, which means Lord. We just call Hashem Lord. We don't use the name like it's written. But in a future, in our future reality, in the future reality, Hashem's name will be written with Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we'll read it with Yud Kei Vav Kei. V'havin, understand this. In other words, because our grasp will be at a high level, we'll be able to say Hashem's name properly because we'll mamish see its effect through the worlds, like he mentioned over here. We'll be able to see the influence of Hashem's word right through the worlds. This is the idea behind the verse that says, Lo yikanef oid moirecho. And your master will, your teacher will no longer be hidden. Hidden like a yikanef is like a person puts on a cloak and he wraps it around himself so you can't see him. He's like hidden within this cloak. So your master will no longer be wrapped up in a cloak, wrapped up that is hidden to us. Unbelievable prophecy. It says that our eyes will see our teacher. Who is our teacher? It's Hashem, who is the leader of the world. Our eyes, our own eyes, will see our teacher. So that's a prophecy in Yeshaya. And the Zohar writes on that, Knafayim Kisuyin, right, that Hashem, your master, will be covered up, like as we said, like with a cape. So that means a cover, Liskasoshmon, which covers up their influence. It covers up their power. The power of their influence is all covered up. We can't see the influence. The influence that's influencing all of creation, it's all hidden from us. We can't see the power behind it. Ayin Sham Hetev Kol Ha'inyan. You see, you should see it very well over there. And therefore, when Hashem started with the Ten Commands, we have to know there's a parallel between the Ten Commands and the Ten Sayings with which the world was created. So when Hashem actually opened up to give the Ten Commands to the Jewish people at Sinai, his opening words were, Anuchi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God, Hashem, the name Hashem, Hashem who is Elokecha, Ki zeko ikas yisoid amunah, because this is the basis of the foundation of our belief. Shetzarich ikol ish Yisrael ikboya believer, that every single Jewish person has to fix in his heart. Shirak hu yisboch shmo, hu abal koyach amiti, that it's only Hashem himself who is the true owner of all forces, who's the true owner of all things that exist, right? Because he is the force behind him, he is the soul behind him. That he is the soul, he is the life force, and he is the root of every single element. He is the soul and the life force of all creatures and all forces and all of the different worlds, upper worlds and lower worlds, spiritual worlds and physical worlds. So, that's the meaning of the name Elohim. Like we said before, the name Elohim represents Baal HaKoyachos Kulam, that he's the master of all the forces. So in the Ten Commands, it says, I am Hashem, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the highest name we know, who is Elohim, who is the master of all forces. I am Hashem, who is Elohim. Right? That's me, that's who I am, that's what we believe. That's the first mitzvah of the Ten Commands, which is a command that we have to believe in Hashem, to believe that all power comes only from him. He's the only source of the power of the world. There is no other power besides him. Aval imkoze, together with this, however, together with this understanding that Hashem is the source of all powers, lefi perusha v'inyan shel zeh Hashem, according to the explanation and idea of this name, that he's the master of all forces, mashma, sheyesh b'metzias gomu, gam oilomus ha'kriches m'chudoshim yirtzoy na'aposhet yisboch, that there's also a reality, an absolute reality of world and forces, new forces, which come about through his desire. His design. In other words, as follows. If Hashem says to him, I am Hashem, your Lord, so when Hashem uses the name I, when someone says to you, I, so you understand I as opposed to you. Right? If someone says to you, I like walking. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, I... And you? Do you also like walking? Okay? So therefore, I implies that there's a you. I am Hashem, your Lord, right? So therefore, that also the understanding is that I am the source of all, but you also exist. Your reality is also a reality which I've created. There's also a you. If there's an I, then there's also a you, and that's us, and that's the whole reality. So therefore, so therefore that means that that's implying that at the same time that I'm bringing life to all, there's also a reality that's called you, and that's the whole of creation, that's the world and the different creatures of the world which HaKadosh Baruch is running, because Hashem has hidden his glory, he's hidden his honor. If he wanted, he could show the world that I'm the one who's running the show, like the puppeteer who comes on the stage together with his puppets, so then everyone understands that the puppets are really being controlled by the puppeteer. But Hashem has hidden his glory. You can't see the puppeteer. You can't see Hashem at all. And thereby, he's allowed the possibility of reality of different forces in different worlds. It's specifically the fact that Hashem has hidden himself from us that allows us to, so to speak, exist independently. We exist independently because Hashem is hidden. If he would be totally visible, then it would be like we don't exist by ourselves. We really don't have any existence. So that's part of that. So that goes together with the whole setup in which we live, where Hashem is hidden. which, by the way, an interesting idea Rav Dessler brings, that the word Olam, now this is a known idea, but that's basically when Hashem creates a world, Olam is from the word Helam, is a hiding. When Hashem hides himself, and through hiding himself, we come into reality. Mm-hmm. We exist because he is hidden. We exist, so to speak, independent because he is hidden. And that's the word Olam. The word Olam, is, which means world, also means Helam, something that's hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Just that Hashem, right, this hidden force, he is the soul. Just like the soul is hidden, you can't see your soul. Your soul is your life force, so too Hashem is hidden. He is the source, he is the soul, and he is the source, and he is the root. Mekor Shoresh Koyach Yusam. Of the life force from Mekabli Me'ito Yisbol, which they receive from him. Shemisfased umistateh b'soichem krav yoch, that it spreads through. The life force, like the soul, spreads through the whole of creation and is hidden within them. It's hidden, the life force is hidden within the creation. Kenyan ispashtus ha'nisham b'guf ha'odom. Just like the spreading of the soul through a person's body. If you ask a person, where is your soul? He says, well, I can't see my soul, but where is it? It spreads right through my body because it controls my entire body. My entire body receives its life force, its ability to move, to function, is all from my soul, which spreads right through the body. Similarly, the influence of Hashem, the force of Hashem, spreads right through the world. That with the soul, that even though the soul spreads through every single detail and every single point, individual point of the person, nevertheless, even though the soul is supporting the body, we can't say that the body becomes null and void to the soul. The body continues to exist, so to speak, separately to the soul. Ki'ilu eino b'tzius klav. Right, the body exists independently such that it's almost like the soul doesn't exist. It can't be seen. V'chein b'kol koach v'oilam elyon, shemispashet b'kol atzmus v'koyach v'oilam shemitachtov. And suddenly every force and every upper spiritual world which spreads through the essence of the world or the force that's beneath it. We know that every upper world is the source of a lower world. So that upper world is hidden within that lower world. The lower world receives power from an upper world, and the upper world is hidden within the lower world. Right? Just like Hashem is hidden right through creation, like the soul is hidden within the body. So all the upper worlds are hidden within the lower worlds. In other words, so to speak, we have to somehow try and uncover them because they're there, they're mamish there. And together with this, right, with this hiding of this upper world, of this force, so therefore the lower world becomes, has a reality, has its own independence and reality. And all of this is in terms of our grasp, from our point of view. From our point of view, the lower world is what exists. What we see is the physical world. So from our point of view, this physical world is a reality, it's a true world. It's a reality. It's something that we see, we feel, we can touch it, we can smell it, we can taste it. So this is the reality of this world. And that's from our point of view. So we don't see the upper world. The upper world is hidden within this world. However, the essential name of Hashem, which is called the essence of Hashem, the name Yud Kei Vov Kei, Moir Al Bechina Ve'inyan Kefi Ashehu Mitzidu Yisboch. So that name, Yud Kei Vov Kei, is from Hashem's point of view. Remember, we spoke already a few times, that there's the world as it's perceived from our point of view, and there's the world as perceived from Hashem's point of view. So the name Hashem, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, is from Hashem's point of view, where nothing exists besides him, where he fills the whole of reality, Shemisvay Lamali, which we explained before. V'avshe gam shem havai boruch hu nikra gam ken mitzad hischabusa yisboruch betzoin eloi lomas. And even though we also use this name havai, this name Yud Kei Vav Kei, in terms of that this name is attached through his desire to all of the worlds. In other words, he, so to speak, desires to these worlds to be in existence, and thereby he's attached to these worlds. He's basically allowing these worlds to be. Ki atzmus adon yochid ein sof baruch hu bechinas hayosa mufshat me'olamos. Right, the essence of Hashem, because the essence of Hashem in and of itself is a concept that is totally separate from the world. You know, he's separate from the world, but he influences the world from above, from afar, remotely. He's a separate force. Lo Yisram is b'shum shem klal. We have no name of Hashem. There's no name that we give to Hashem which indicates this power, the fact that he is separate from the world, that he is above the world. Afal pikein, and even so, how ilomus heimer b'telim u'butol mitzius negdu yisboch mitzad zeh. Hashem anichbad, v'hu me'ein habachina kefi Hashem mitzivu yisbo. Nevertheless, all of the worlds from his point of view, all of the worlds, he is the name which is the source of the worlds, but from his point of view, then all the worlds as if they're nothing. From Hashem's point of view, as from our point of view, this world is the reality and Hashem is hidden. And we understand he's the force of everything, but otherwise he's hidden. But from his point of view, that he fills all reality, then we are as if we don't exist. We are like we don't exist. So if we use the analogy once before of an author writing a story. So the author writes these characters and he writes the whole scene and he paints the picture and he paints and he's got the city and the houses and the streets, etc. He paints the whole picture with his words. But so to speak, they don't exist. That's all the imagination of the author. So from Hashem's point of view, it's like we don't exist because we all nullify to the will of Hashem. We only exist in as far as that Hashem wants us to exist. We only act and we only do as far as he wants us to act or do. And that's why the essential name of Hashem is called the special name. That's called the special name of Hashem. This is what the verse says, Ki Hashem Hu HaElokim. But we have a verse that we say, this is the verse that we say in Aleinu Shabbat, we say every day. Right? V'yadata yoyim, you should know today, V'yashevois levevech, and you should put it in your heart. Ki Hashem Hu HaElokim. Hashem, the special name, he is Elohim, he is the master of all forces. Hashem, that essential name, the essence of all, the essence of name, that very special name of Hashem, which is that he is all, he is the Elohim, he is the master of the forces of the world. Hashem, who is the all, that nullifies the whole world in terms of his presence. From his point of view, it's like we don't exist. But from our point of view, he is the master of all the forces of all the world. Even though, in terms of our point of view, Hashem is called Elokim, which means forces. Hashem is called the forces, because we see different forces that influence the existence of the world. And different forces that bring this world into existence. Every element of this world has its own force, which means that it can exist because of its force. So therefore, from our point of view, we see Hashem as forces, forces and forces, many, many forces which put the whole world on its feet. And mitzido yisbarach nikra b'chinas Shem Avayin. From Hashem's point of view, we also understand that Hashem is called Yudkei Vavkei. Now, so to speak, these are two different names. From his point of view, he's the essence of all. He's the absolute reality of he is all. Be'emes hakol echod. But in truth, it's all one. That's what we say. Hashem, which from his point of view, is everything. Hu Elohim, he is the forces, which is from our point of view, that Hashem is the total of all forces which bring our world to exist. And from his point of view, that he is all, he's also the same as the forces which are the running of this world. Hashem, Hu Elohim, Hashem, the name Havai, he is the forces, he is Elohim, that's the master of all forces. Moshe Nisfar Le'el, as we explained before, in Atzimtzum V'Kav, the idea of the hiddenness and in the ray of light which gives life to the world. So that is all. It's all really all one. It's all only really Hashem. But the forces and the essence of Hashem are really all one and the same. And this also is the idea that this is the idea that we're trying to portray when we recite, when we declare the first pasuk of Krishma, right, which are a mitzvah every day to declare twice a day. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein, Hashem is Elokein, our source of all the forces. Hashem is the one who runs our world for us. He is our forces. He is the forces that run our world. He, Hashem, who is the absolute name, the total name, the highest name of all, he is the source of all the forces, and he is one. Hashem is one. There isn't two Hashem. There's only one Hashem. All the forces is Hashem. That is to understand that Hashem, who is the God on high, who is the source of all, he is the master of all the forces. All the forces in the world are him, mamish him. He is operating it all. He hasn't delegated anything to anyone. He is running everything. He is intimately involved in every single detail of our life, and he's mamish with us at every single moment of our life. Because he is the master of all forces. Right? The fact that a person can move his finger, the person can scratch his ear, so that's the force that comes. It was all from Hashem. So it's Hashem who's mamish intimately with the person and helping him to function in terms of every single function. Hashem is the forces. Hashem himself is all the forces that run the world. He is the source and the root of our soul, of our life force, and our existence. Vishel kol habruim, not just for us, but for all creatures. Olamas, and all of the worlds, all creatures right through the world, every single creature, every single insect, every single animal, every single plant or tree or land or hill or mountain or river. He is the life force of it all. And even though he created a reality of different forces, as we are aware of different forces in the world, and different worlds and different creatures, even though we see separate creatures, right? Elephants are not giraffes, and giraffes are not lions, and lions are not tigers. They're all separate. We see all these different animals, all these different forces. We see different types of beings, different types of reality. We often clash with other people, right? This person wants this, and I want this. That guy wants the parking place, and I want the parking place. So seemingly, they're all these separate forces, but really, they really all come from the same source. Because none of the creatures, which so to speak exist independently, right? Two people fighting over a parking place, right? None of these creatures can interrupt, can so to speak break, so to speak, from his oneness. They're all just apparitions. They're just apparitions of his oneness, different aspects of his oneness. They're different types of ideas he wants to bring through in the creation. It's all different aspects. It's all different manifestations of his oneness. But it's all Hashem. So these two guys fighting over the parking place, they're all Hashem. They're both Hashem. It's all Hashem. Hashem is orchestrating everything. Everything he's orchestrating. So therefore, nothing really stands as a barrier in front of Hashem. There is no barriers. Hashem, there are no barriers at all. He permeates everything. He fills everything. Right, as we see, right, Hamamale call, he fills it all. V'nikra gam ato havaya ve'echad. He is called the source of all existence, and he is called the One. He is the One of oneness. And that's chapter 11. Let's start Perek Yudbeis for a few minutes. Chapter 12. Zeh inyan shedarshu chazal. This is the idea that our sages have taught. It's a Gemara in Chulin. Al haposuk ki Hashem hu ha'elokim ein oid milvado. There's a verse in the Torah that says Hashem, He is God, and there is none besides Him, like we mentioned before. Amar Reb Chanina, afilu kshofim. Said Reb Chanina, even witchcraft, any witchcraft that exists in this world is also from Hashem. Any witchcraft, any type of witchcraft, any other type of, even a black force, black magic force, is also Hashem. He called in Yane Pulas Hakshofim Nimshach Meakoiches Hatuma Shom Erkovat Meah. Because the whole idea of the activity of magic, black magic, of witchcraft, comes from the forces of contamination. There are pure forces and there are contaminated forces. We know Hashem is set up almost like a double system, where Zeh Le'umat Zeh Bar Elokim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, and there's like the bright, the light side of the world, and there's the dark side of the world. And therefore, every item in this world has a shadow, and therefore, every good thing in this world has a bad side to it, has a negative side to it. Right? That's like the dark side of the moon. There's the bright side of the moon, which is lit up by the sun, and there's the dark side of the moon, which is the side of darkness, which is contamination. There's goodness, there's purity, and then there's evil and contamination. So therefore, there are forces of evil, there are evil forces which Hashem has brought into existence in the world, which come from the chariot, or the contaminated chariot. Now, so to speak, there's a whole system of forces that exists parallel to the pure. There's two systems. There's a system which of purity and goodness, and there's a system of impurity and evil. Uh-huh. And these two forces, these two organizations, these two setups are parallel to each other. And therefore, this is the idea that gives. There's a wisdom called the wisdom of magic, the wisdom of wizardry, of witchcraft. Those when we had a Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, when we had the Beis Hamikdash and the Sanhedrin was in Yerushalayim, so those members of the Sanhedrin, the 70 sages who composed the Sanhedrin, they all had to also know the wisdom of witchcraft. They had to understand witchcraft, and the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin there that in order for a person to qualify for the Sanhedrin, he needed a number of specifications. He needed to be a person of stature, a person of wisdom. He had to have a lot of secular knowledge as well. He had to know all the languages in the world. And one of the things he also had to know was he had to understand witchcraft. He had to have a good understanding of witchcraft. So therefore, and the problem with witches is a person who might become a false prophet. You might have someone who's portraying himself as a prophet because he can tell the future. that he's really using, he's really using powers of contamination. So therefore, the members of Sanhedrin have to be able to fathom out how he's doing it. If he's doing magic, or if he's doing tricks, or if he's, you know, fooling people to think that he's a godly person, and he's doing these tricks, so the Sanhedrin are required to understand how he's doing it. They have to understand the trick. And you see a magic act. So people ask, how did he do that? How did he do that? But the Sanhedrin have to know how he did it. You know, that's part of the wisdom, that's part of their qualification, that they have this insight that they can fathom out people who are using impure powers in an incorrect way, and they'd be able to monitor that and control that somehow. Hainu Chokhmas Shmois HaTumah, which is the wisdom, right? This witchcraft. Witchcraft is a real thing. It's the witchcraft of knowing the names of contaminated forces. We mentioned before that if you can call on certain names of angels, then you can get them to do things for you, to help you in certain ways. So therefore, they know, these people who study witchcraft, they know the names of the forces of contamination, that they can call on those forces. And they know ideas of how the setup of this whole organization of running the world in terms of the dark side. They know the names. They know how to call on the names. So therefore, someone who knows a bit of wizardry, a bit of witchcraft, can do unbelievable things with all sorts of unusual things by harnessing these forces. He can, so to speak, get these forces to operate for him. When you bind to yourself, you, so to speak, you obligate these forces of contamination by using their names. You call on these forces, and you, so to speak, get them to serve you in terms of the good aspect of these contaminated forces. I'm not sure exactly what that means. The good aspect of these contaminated forces, which people who know witchcraft can somehow control. So they can bring down some sort of a life force to do wonders. They can do like magic. They can do magical things. And then they will do things that go against the laws of nature. They will break the laws of nature. They suddenly have unusual things. You have a person flying through the air, which is against the law of nature. According to the law of nature, people can't fly through the air. But therefore, he's using these forces, so to speak, to create happenings that are against the laws of nature. If you look in the Sefer Etz Chaim, when he speaks about these impure forces which enter the realm of purity, right? There's a concept called the shining shell, right? Which is a very deep Kabbalistic concept. Machmas shekein kovah habore, and the reason that these things exist is because Hashem allows them to exist. It's all part of the way Hashem has set up the world. It's a part of our challenge in this world, that we should choose good over evil. So therefore, that's why he's set it up in such a way that these forces do exist. He's made these powers which somehow, so to speak, have power over nature. In other words, they can, so to speak, run nature. They can go against nature. But the nature is run by its constellations which run nature, and therefore nature runs according to certain specific rules. But he has allowed for these other powers to somehow, sometimes, in certain circumstances, to push away nature. That they have the ability to do different acts. Against the nature of the constellations, against the constellations and different forces that were set up from the time of creation, and as the way the world was run was set up from the very time the world was created, and therefore these forces have a power to even go against the forces of nature. As we know that every force and every world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has set limits to how much power it has and what ability it has. The constellations, the upper worlds, as we said before, upper worlds control the lower world, and all that was set from before. And therefore one can somehow, so to speak, with the spirit can somehow release different types of forces into our lives. So that's the topic that we've started. We'll have to leave that for next time. The topic here we started, that there are other types of powers which are negative powers, which also there's some type of access to it. for people who want to do evil, people who want to do witchcraft, for people who know about these things. I don't think there are people today who know witchcraft at all. I mean, maybe there's some people who do illusions. It seems to be that they're doing witchcraft. I don't think there are any real witches nowadays. But this power does exist. There is this sort of dark side, the dark side of the world, where there's these dark powers that do exist. And what we're going to explain is how that's also part of Hashem's plan, and it's also Hashem himself funding these powers. He's also the one who allows these powers to come into being.